Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. I'm so happy that you tuned into Prophecy Alive, and I am your host, Roderick Ormsby. You know I'm expecting such a great miracle this evening, and I want you to know that God hears every one of your prayers. You know, one scripture says that he puts our tears, yes, our tears, in a bottle. And I want you to know that God is pouring out that which you have poured in. Some of you feel like God has forgotten me, but I come to tell you tonight, here on Prophecy Alive, that God has not forgotten you. God is looking at your faith, and I want you to know that your exercise of your faith is almost like building muscles. And anybody that ever built muscles, I played football, and the hardest task was the preparation for the game. Well, in the kingdom of God, there is no game. However, your preparation, my preparation, has been challenging to our faith. And it's all about the attitude towards the preparation. I'm so glad that many of you across this world, as you're listening to this anointed broadcast, that God has seen your labor. God has seen your faith. And I got news for you on this broadcast. There is a miracle for you. It's not for sale. You can't buy a miracle. Come on here. It costs too much, and you can't even pay God for a miracle. God is a God of love, and he is ready to meet you at your need. You have to live a sacrificial life. You got to give yourself totally to God, and God will give himself totally to you. Stay with me. The number to call, 347-539-5173. And you press 1. And I'm believing God for supernatural counsel and also supernatural manifestation of the love of God to meet you right where you are. I'll be back after this. Yes, it is about time for a miracle. Do you believe God is listening to you? So many people, they pray, but they don't even believe that God is listening. But I want you to know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I mean, you can look at your natural life. What do you believe? You believe it because you heard it. Praise God. I mean, we heard our parents tell us to clean up the room. We heard our parents tell us what to do. Teachers tell us what to do. And I'm telling you, we get faith in it. It's according to how much we believe what we hear that produces the results. It might have been a good report card. That's because you listen and you got faith to believe that you can do math. You can do algebra. Do you understand what I'm saying to you in the natural? What I want you to know is the same way when it comes by God's word. And I want you to know, I was reading here Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is. You can see the problem with many of God's people, they're trying to make faith into something that it's not. I want you to hear this. You better call your friends, call your pastor, you know, and if they're not too high-minded, tell them they need to listen in tonight. I'm going to share about faith and what it is. Call your friends, call your husbands, call anybody that you know they need a spiritual, supernatural jumpstart in the Holy Ghost, and tell them if they're going through hell, tell them they need to call in tonight. I want you to know Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is what faith is. God said what it is, but religion would try to make faith into being on time at church. Not that anything is wrong with that. Religion would have you thinking you're walking by faith because you're doing everything the pastor tells you to do. Religion would have you thinking you're walking by faith because you're being faithful to a certain auxiliary in the church. But let's get this. Let's get it now. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and do what? He said, learn of me. He didn't say, learn of your pastor. He didn't say, learn of your apostle or learn of your prophet. He said, listen, you got to learn about me. God, I feel God. Do you hear me? You got to learn about him. And so you run into trouble with your faith if your faith is in the wrong area. The Bible says, Jesus said in Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God. He didn't say have faith in any other person. He didn't say have faith in your mama, your daddy, your husband, your wife, your children, your education. He didn't say that. If somebody tell you he did, tell them to call me. Praise God. He never told us to have faith in anything. Come on here. But him, have faith in God. If any preacher tell you to have faith in your church, to love your church, tell them to call me. That's a lie, just like the devil. God didn't mean for us to put anything before him. He said, don't have another God before me. Come on right now. So now faith, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is, what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. Come on now. The substance of things hoped for, that's what faith is. Faith is substance, that which makes a thing. Faith is that invisible force that works by love that causes everything that's not or appear not to be so. What faith is that thing that brought about everything that you see. Watch this now. Good, bad, and ugly. Some of you go through some ugly situations. I've been there. And you don't think this is faith. But I'm going to tell you something. Good, bad, and ugly, it all is faith, because all things work together for the good to them that are called. And them that are called and those that love the Lord. And there's a purpose, a destiny that God fulfills through this thing called faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is. Now, demons do that.
The devil believed that God exists. Demons believe that God exists. Believe it or not, even the atheists believe that God exists, or he wouldn't think that there is not a God. Come on. So even the atheist is saying, I believe that there's a God, because you there has to be something for you not to believe in as well as for you to believe in. Come on here. So when you say, when you come to God, come to him by faith. Now, we've got to do better, church, than religion and than demons, because demons believe and even tremble. There was one time there was a man in the Bible who was possessed with the devil, and the demon said to Jesus, let us go into the swine. Do you understand? So Jesus permitted them to go into the body, the physical, legal thing that makes us legal on the earth is that we have a body. So even demons understand how God operates. So Jesus cast them into the swines, and then the swines drown. Do you want to drown? Well, demons, their total goal is to drown you in your sorrows, drown you in your bills, drown you in your ministry, drown you in your relationship, drown you in your hopes, in your dreams, and in your visions. But God is saying to me tonight to minister to the people of God. And I want you to know that this broadcast, God said to me tonight, son, I'm going to give my people the very substance of faith. Now, faith is the substance, watch this, of things hoped for. Whenever you hope for something, you're having faith in that thing, good, bad, or ugly. Whenever you hope for something, you have to have faith in that which brought about hope. Faith brings about substance. Substance brings about hope. And then hope takes us to the evidence of things not seen. Now, it goes right there. Anything you don't see is going to take that love for that which you want. It's like a woman that wants a child. Okay, you don't have the child in you yet. And a husband and wife who wants a child. So when the seed is planted and the eggs mix together with the seed of the man, come on, wives, and then it brings about what? The thing that you hope for. So the faith that you had or have for birthing of a child, man, a boy or girl, male or female, that substance of what you hope for, and then when the process of that which you're believing for takes place between the husband and wife, and then that comes in the evidence of what you didn't see before, but now you went to the hospital and you got an examination. And then you hear the good news, woman, you are with child. The same way it goes with your visions and with your dreams and with your desires. Faith is that substance. So why be discouraged when you don't see the thing? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, God is so awesome. He gives us faith. He tells us to have faith, and the scripture says, God, he has given us the measure of faith. So God gives all of us the measure of faith. He gives us faith free. Come on. And he gives us faith. Why? Because he's going to produce something in our lives. And so that faith brings the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What was not seen becomes a reality because of faith. Now, that the NIV version says, in that same verse of Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, the enemy does not want you to be certain of what you don't see. He wants you to meditate on the fact that you don't see it. Well, I don't see the bills paid. I don't see a car. I don't see a home. Well, wait a minute now. Where are you going to put your faith? And then sometimes we get time conscious and we put God on a clock. Well, who's working for you? Who's working for you? When you put God on a clock, then you're saying, God, it's my time and not yours. Because then you're ignoring that you need patience. It's like a person I knew, they came into so much money, and in 2 years, they lost millions of dollars. Why? They did not allow the process for God to produce within them the character that goes with having multi-millions of dollars. They wanted the millions of dollars in a hurry, but they refused to allow God to build character. It's like so many people in ministry. They want ministry. They want a big church. They want all of those things. They want to be praised by men, but they never allow God to do something. God is not trying to get ministry out of you. He's producing character. Let God get you first, and then the ministry is easy for God because he has a vessel unto honor. I am so excited. Stay with me. I believe I have a caller, and I'm coming to you right now. It's 3136. I'm coming to you right now. God bless you.
God bless you. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for calling. What's in your spirit this evening?
Oh yeah, I just called to listen to your sermon, and I was listening to you about faith, and that's absolutely true, because I was actually talking to that about a few people not too long ago about that. You know, it's like,
yes,
like I was explaining to them, you know, if you choose to go to that school, or if you allow God to choose that for you. We have a God that wants to be in every aspect of our life. He wants to be the one that makes a decision for us. But you gotta have faith in him in order to do that.
That's good.
So, like I said, I was listening, but yeah, you're absolutely right about faith. Faith is what gives us our salvation. You know, it's a part of our salvation. And that's another thing as well. See, faith is something that he wants out of us. Of course he wants our love. That's why he had Jesus come with the commandment of love thy Father with all your heart, with all your soul. But also he wants our faith. He wants us to believe and know that he will do whatever that's needed, that whatever we ask of, that he will do.
So yes.
I 100% agree with you on that.
But I agree with you also, and I thank you for those words. How has your faith in God, the process of you growing in faith, tell me about that, because some people think you just get faith in God and whatever you want to do, you just do it. But God is building character. And there's so many people fall because they never allow God to build character. Go ahead and share on that.
Well, this is how I started. You know, when I started building my faith, you know, God was revealing to me things. I mean, I became a listener. So how I become a listener is by, you know, being observant. I'm an observant type person. So he used things of what I'm already have the ability to reach out to. So how he reached out to me is by, you know, showing me things. So, for example, I've seen the manifestation of my girlfriend who had a baby stuck in her fallopian tube, and God healed her in my eyesight. I didn't see him, but I felt his power. It was the most powerful thing I ever felt. Once I saw that, then I started seeing, you know, all my prayers being answered. My faith increased. So when my faith increased through his manifestation, it doesn't stop there. I started getting to the word, started listening, and started basically getting to the word, and now I'm praying and getting the word. Well, that also increases the faith as well. When you read the Bible, you get an understanding, so you're getting that word filled in your heart. And once you, after that, then you're praying in tongues as well. So that's what Paul tells us. Paul tells us to pray in tongues as more. But once you do that, you know, it's like you're going to a gas station. You go to a gas station, you pump yourself up with prayer. You pump yourself up with the word. And you, then you do that every day. You just pump yourself up with faith.
Praise God. I thank God for your words. And you're so right. Faith. You know what it does? It makes us so certain. We become certain of the realities of that which we believe. The supernatural miracles that you saw, and it increased your faith. We thank God for you, man of God, for giving us a call, and continue to support and listen to this work, and we will continue to pray for you, okay?
Okay.
God bless.
God bless.
I'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. For a miracle. I want you to know that miracles live in you. Yes? That which you are believing God for is actually living in you. See, this is why God has given us the measure of faith. God would never give you something if it wasn't in you. You see, God is a wise God. He created us. He made us in his image. Now, how could you be made in God's image and not have faith? So everything we desire, what the enemy does, is like he deceived Eve, tried to make Eve think or feel that she was insufficient of glory. He made Adam, he made his glory. And then the serpent came to deceive her into thinking that she did not have what she have. Now watch this. The world is getting rich off of this, people. They offer you a pill as a solution to heal you. And then you look around and that pill gives you something in exchange. A sickness. Oh God, help us. The world has profited off of deception. Look at what the word of God says in Luke 17:5. I'm going to read it from the NIV. Apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, God is saying, I want you to get this. Everything is to obey us. The devil is supposed to obey us, not the other way around. But man is so tied up in religion, they want people to be subject to them. Be careful of deception. Hear me now. Let's look at believing. Apostle said, increase our faith. Now, I want to show you something. Believing is not exactly the same as faith. For belief is to be faith, it must light on what? How can I say is certainly true about faith? But in the Word of God, there are examples and situations that I want you to look at where belief alone is required, even commanded. Let's look at this. There's no time for evidence or collection to wait to hear for certain things to take place. Sometimes God just says, believe. All things are possible to him that believe it. Not faith, but all things are possible to him that believe it. Now watch this. Think about Peter. Peter walking on the water. Don't think now. Don't act. God required Peter step out. He didn't think about, listen, he said, just come on. God even requires us to believe in him when temporarily the evidence looked bad to trust. You begin to study belief and trust separately. God requires belief, listen to this, and trust in moments of human weakness. Faith is what makes us strong. Faith is the state of being convinced. I'm talking about being totally convinced about what we are hoping for. There was no time for Peter to think or collect evidence. Let's see if this water is going to hold me up like it's holding up Jesus. Some of us wanted all the circumstances to hold up our faith. Sometimes God simply says, believe. Just simply believe me. Come on, it's like a little child. You set your child on a chair. You stand in front of your child and you hold your hands out to see if that child would trust you enough to fall into your hands. Glory to God. There are times God will challenge you. You say, listen, my life doesn't look like it's going anywhere. My life seems like it's up in shambles. And it looks like I'm being deceived here, I'm being deceived there. And listen, but God is holding out his hand saying, jump. Not jump off a building like a crazy lunatic. He's saying, jump into belief and trust me for this. It may be a promotion on your job. It may be you don't have a house. We've been there, me and my Queen Katrina. God blessed us. We stayed in hotels for almost 3 years, but we never shared it. We just walked, and people said, oh, you're so prosperous. Amen. Because even during that time, our character was built. There's so many people in the body of Christ in the churches. They're so arrogant. You've seen them. They got a decent job, and they just feel like I'm blessed. You say, how you doing? They say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Put those same people in a situation where they got to really trust God and they got to really use their faith. They will shrivel up like a worm in heat. Listen to me now. I'm trying to help you. But God is fixing it. He's going to challenge everyone concerning their faith. He's going to test everyone to see where your faith is. I'm telling you, you want to be found worthy. Praise God. Now, Romans 10 and 17 is so interesting. Now, watch this. Romans 10, 17 says, and I'm going to read this from the NIV translation. It says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. There is no message like the word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. In other words, the faith you see can only come, watch this, from hearing the word of God, the message of the word of God. You can't get faith by hearing somebody's own version of the word of God. You can't get faith by a person that's promoting their church or their denomination or promoting their experience. You can only get faith by hearing God's word. That's why so many people are messed up. They got their faith in man, and then when things come up and they wonder why they don't have spiritual muscles, is because they're getting their belief in somebody and not the word of God. You can only get God's faith from God's word. Don't let nobody fool you now. Don't let nobody fool you. I've got something I've read today. I want to share this with you. C.S. Lewis, he said this. Watch this. We must not encourage in ourselves or others any tendency to work up a subjective state which, if we succeed, we should describe as faith. And when I read that, it blew me. Let me read it again. C.S. Lewis, he says, we must not encourage in ourselves or others any tendency to work up a subjective state which, if we succeed, we should describe as faith. Now listen. With the idea that this will somehow ensure the granting of our prayers, the state of mind which desperate desire working on a strong imagination can manufacture is not faith according to the word of God. It is a feat of psychological gymnastics. I want you to get this. You know, I see so much that I don't want to be critical of, but I'm fishing for people who are tired of going to church and having a good dance and hearing the same testimony and hearing the same songs and hearing the same religious talk and deem for that to be faith. I'm going to dance like David, you know, some say, and then no organ plays. And I'm a musician, so I'm for music. You know, so many people say, we don't need no music to praise God. I don't sing that song. I'm a musician. But I want to tell you something. There's absolutely nothing wrong with praise. But what is praise? How come praise is limited to a dance at church and not how you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ? Even if they don't go to your church. Can you hear? Do you want to be free? How come faith is not helping those who need help instead of criticizing them and tell them if you use your faith, you'll be blessed like I am? What pitiful way of saying I am a Christ-like person. That's what a Christian is. And so many people think that faith is church. Faith is not church. Church is gathering together. You know, not forsaking to gather yourself together with believers. Now, I love you, but there's a whole lot of folk gathering together, and they're not believers. They're gossipers. Oh, I just love people so much. Now watch this. So we've got to be careful what we call faith. Your job is not faith. Your money is not faith. Your education is not faith. The scripture says faith works by love. Now I want you to get this now. I want you to get this in your spirit. The only way faith can work is by love. Now, I want you to get this. I get this. And I want you to hold it deep in your spirit. Now, let's go together. I want you to see this. You say, well, what is wrong with my faith? Let me show you how to have the right faith. The Bible says here in Galatians 5 and 6, listen to this, Galatians 5 and verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything. You know, back then, if you had to circumcise a child,
God spoke to Abraham about it. It became a certain age, and it represented actually the cross and how Jesus got his flesh. He cut himself off. It's saying, it's talking about that salvation work, of the flesh, or the works of the flesh. Galatians 5 and 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. He said, whether you're circumcised or not, it doesn't avail it anything. You know, a lot of people think they're saved because of some ritual or some denominational law that they have to keep. You know, some churches say, we fast on Tuesdays and Fridays. Well, some people be condemned if they don't fast on Tuesdays and Fridays. You got 7 days in a week. If you go to Isaiah 58, you'll see what real fasting is. There's a fasting without food, and then there's also a fasting of love. Praise God. And that doesn't involve not eating. It involves how you treat folks. King James Bible says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but watch this, faith which worketh by love. There you have Galatians 5:6. Faith works by love. No love, no faith. Come on. And you, little love, little faith. So we must understand what faith is and what faithfulness is. Now, get this in your spirit now. God is faithful, isn't he? He's faithful, and he's also just. So faith works by love. Now I want you to get this. I read to you C.S. Lewis, how he talks about faith. And this is something I read, and I thought I'd share this. I thought this was so awesome. Belief detached from the truth is not faith. Believing in what is not from God, not true. Believing in the word of your own imagination or even the word of Satan is deception. This is pure and simple. Watch this. Calling this deception faith does not make it so. So belief is not something that you just psych yourself out. You know, that's not faith. See, A.W. Tozer, listen to this, what he said. I do not recall another period when faith was as popular as it is today. Listen, if only we believe hard enough, we'll make it somehow. I want to challenge this now. See, so many just, if I could just believe, if I can just believe hard enough, if I could just, somehow it'll come to pass. And then people have a popular chant, just chant. If I could say a word over and over, maybe it'll come to pass. And now you can get into superstition. I have to say this, and thank you, Holy Spirit. And I hear this supernaturally. Listen, what you believe is not important. Only believe. Come on, get this. What you believe is not important. We know to believe God's word. But we get so tied up in what I believe. I've heard some men on a podcast, because they have criticism. But what struck me was there was a question about people in their city that are without jobs. It's about 400,000 people. And they were talking about the bishops and the preachers, how they live in fancy homes. Now, don't think I'm against prosperity. I'm not, but hear me out.
And it was, they're talking about the pastors that they're driving up in Bentleys, but their congregations are poor people. And one bishop just got irate and began to say, I'm not going to apologize for my prosperity. I'm for prosperity. I like nice things. My queen to tell you. I was at one place preaching one time, and I heard a preacher, God sent us there, and I heard him get up, and he was saying, I never go around without $100 in my pocket. And the people that were there were broke, basically. And yet they were believing God, they were giving, they were believing God, but all of the emphasis, according to his word, was on his prosperity. I have a problem with that. Because something ought to move you to identify with the people you're preaching to, if that's what you're doing. But somehow these men got so involved in everything, but souls, God help us. I have no criticism, but I do have correction. The book of Acts says they had all things common. Somebody hurting, and you're a leader, you should hurt too. Glory to God. Not have this religious and this dog-eat-dog mentality where they ought to get it like I got it. One pastor got so upset with me, I said, brother, wait a minute now. You got to humble yourself a little bit more. Because just like a restaurant, if everybody leave you, that's going to affect your income. And it shouldn't be your income. It should be theirs too. Whoops. Y'all tell Roger, be good now. Now listen to this. Mm-mm-mm. It is no sin to doubt some things. It could be fatal to believe everything. Faith never means gullible. If somebody's trying to make you think you don't have faith because you don't do this or that, whatever you do in the name of Jesus. You do it because you love God. You shouldn't be gullible. There should be no gullibility. Faith has nothing to do with being gullible. Hear me now. That gives God no honor. But the healthy soul. God wants our soul to be healthy, like the blood system has its proper proportion of white and red cells. And the red cells are like faith. They carry the life-giving oxygen. Somebody right now, there's a miracle in your red cells. Glory to God. There's a miracle in your red cells that carry your oxygen. I speak a miracle in the red cells. It carries your oxygen to every part of your body, your brain, your organs, your whole body, from your head to your feet. I decree. Oh, I feel a divine shaking in my spirit. Someone needs to call. There's a blood miracle. My God. There's a blood miracle taking place in the body. So those red cells are like faith. It gives life to every part of your body. Then your white cells are like discernment. And they pounce upon dead and toxic things in your body and matter, and they carry it out to the drain, and they release it from the part of your body that releases the toxin. God wants us to be healthy spiritually, not listen to a bunch of mess. Romans 14, look at this. 14 and 5, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. to be persuaded in our own mind. Matthew 24:4-5. Jesus answered, he said, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ. I am anointed and will deceive many. And make you think you owe God some money for a miracle. Don't let nobody fool you. Listen, God told me, he said, your ministry is a $1 billion ministry. But that's not coming by me deceiving people. Glory. That's coming by the truth. You see, there's a famine in the land. People want the truth. Mark 13:5-6. Be careful. Be very careful that no one deceives you. Many are going to come in my name and say, I am he. And will lead many astray. I am he. I am apostle. I am prophet. I am an evangelist. I am a pastor. I am a teacher and deceiving many. That fivefold ministry represents Christ. Luke 21:8. Take care that you are not misled, for many will come claiming my name and saying, I am he. St. John 20:25-28. Listen from the NIV version. When the other disciples told him, Thomas, that they had seen the Lord, he declared, I will not believe it. About a week later, Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. And then Jesus told him, because you have me, and you believe. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. I want to show you something. Some people don't believe unless they see human results. They don't believe unless they see a crowd. We have more Thomas-minded people. They only believe what they see. They don't believe what they don't see. So really, actually, they're not walking by faith. They're walking by name. They're not walking by faith. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great wealth. He doesn't compare name with anything else, but that it needs to be chosen above wealth. But when it comes to faith, it's only proper faith, this belief of God. Thomas should have believed simply because Jesus told him, I'm going to rise again. Ah, but he needed evidence. Faith should be your evidence, not evidence is your faith. St. John 20:31. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. His name. What is his name? His nature. It was his nature that caused the raging sea to become peaceful. He spoke peace because peace was in him. You can't decree something that's not in you. Colossians 1:5. Watch this. That hope that first became yours when you heard the message of truth, this is the gospel itself, which has reached you as it spreads out all over the world, wherever that gospel goes. It produces Christian character. You see that? And develops it as it has done in your own case from the time you first heard and realized the truth of the gospel or the truth of God's grace. Character. Some want faith, but they don't want character. Some want miracles, they don't want character. They don't want the development of the nature of God. But I see you. You want it. You're hungry for God. You want divine character. You don't just want faith. You want faith in God, but you want to be developed. Colossians 1:23. This reconciliation assumes that you maintain a firm position in the faith. God wants us to have a firm position in the faith. And do not allow yourself to be shifted away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. You see, this battle is between faith and reason. Faith and reason on one side. And watch this. And versus emotions and imagination on the other side. You see, the battle is to get your faith and cause your faith to become reason. In other words, I need a reason to believe, like Thomas. I got to touch him. I got to touch the holes in his hands to believe he was crucified. And all of them ran. If you wanted faith in that, they should have stuck around. But they didn't. The disciples, they ran from him. And yet, Thomas, he wanted the proof was with the soldiers. They were beating Jesus. And that's how religion would have you. You would ignore and turn your back on someone that's hurting. But when someone that's going through trials becomes successful, then people come around, they want to see. Oh, God. Now, listen to this. Somebody I'm talking to, you're going through so much. And the people that you thought loved God dispersed. Well, don't get bitter, forgive. But know this, those same people that left and refused to have faith with you, they're going to tiptoe back when they see your resurrection. So this battle, he's fighting your faith, ladies and gentlemen. He wants you to become that person that has to reason, that person that's filled with emotion. God says the imagination of the people became vain and wicked, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing our thoughts and our imagination into captivity, and our thoughts and imaginations should become subject to God. God help us believe. Now, faith, it is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. You don't believe God according to what you feel. I feel a headache. You get a headache and you don't know what to do. Do something that God did to Adam. Woo! He blew into man's nostril and man became a living soul. We didn't come alive until God blew breath. Somebody is shouting right now. I see you, mother, in your kitchen. I'm a seer. I can see you. God blew into man's nostril. And man became a living soul. Let me go to 985-51. I'm coming to you now. Glory to God. I can feel the presence of God. God bless you.
God bless you, man of God.
I'm so happy you called. What's in your spirit?
Oh, what's in my spirit is I'm just wanting God to take me higher. And just fill me with his Holy Spirit. Give me a refreshing anointing.
Keep talking. I'm hearing something in your voice. Keep talking.
I want God to really use me in the ministry. I just want to see things change in the atmosphere and other people's lives. I want to just be a living vessel for God. That's all.
You know what? You have a great love for God. You have a supernatural love for God. And I'm telling you something, The Word of God says, you got your Bible with you, I want to show you something.
Yes, sir.
Get it. I got time. Praise God. Tell me when you have it.
Okay, I got it.
Go to St. John chapter 20. Hallelujah. I love to hear those pages moving. Hallelujah. I feel an anointing. Glory to God. St. John chapter 20. Tell me when you get
there. I'm here.
Read verse 22 with authority.
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sin of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sin of any, they are retained.
He breathed on them right before he sent them out. And then the Holy Spirit fell on them.
Yes, Lord.
I want you to do something tonight. I was in the revival once, and the Holy Spirit told me to do this. And I want you, with your own breath, I want you to just take your hand and put it in front of your face, and I want you to breathe on your hand, and it's going to go on your face. I want you to breathe. Go ahead. Breathe again. Breathe again in Jesus' name. Hey, and I want you to start praising God because the Holy Ghost is on you now. It's on
thank
you,
you
now.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You did
thank
it.
You, Lord. Thank
receive
you.
The Holy
Hallelujah.
Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, the
thank
Holy
you,
Spirit
Jesus.
Is free. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
now,
you, Lord.
Woman,
thank you.
The Lord is telling me to tell you that not only the Holy Spirit is in you, it's on you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are sealed. You see, so many times, woman of God, people look for, not you, but people look for some human manifestation to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. You're going to love this, what I'm about to tell you. Thomas didn't believe Jesus until he touched the holes in his hands.
Yes, Lord.
Right?
Right.
He need to touch some human thing. Like some people believe in God for a new home, and they won't believe it until they see a human manifestation of it. God is saying, if you really believe me, be certain that you have that which you believe. And the Bible said he breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Do you believe you received the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
The
yes,
Holy
sir.
Spirit is on you. I want you to say with your mouth, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit is going to begin to lead and guide you into all truth. St. John chapter 16, verse 12. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead and guide us into all truth. There's a truth that God is revealing to you about your life, about your ministry, about why, listen, bad and ugly things have taken place in your life. Do you know why? Not because God did it, but because of your faith has, listen, it has offended hell. You better hear me, woman of God.
I'm listening.
Your faith in God has offended hell. And because you offended the devil, the enemy, like in the case of Job, he wanted to see if you curse God and die. But God is saying the Holy Spirit is upon you. He's restoring your life and restoring your family. You watch
thank you.
what's going to take place in the matter of 7 days. I want
you
to make sure that you are intensely involved with the Holy Spirit. I want you communing with the Holy Spirit like you have never done before.
Thank you.
Release everybody that has done you wrong. Forgive them and just walk in your newness of life. I'm going to stick with you, and we're going to make sure, like Peter took that man by the hand, and he didn't just tell him to walk. He took him by the hand. So that's what this Prophecy Alive is for, to take the nation by the hand and say in the name of Jesus, behold, in the name of Jesus, receive your miracle, whether financial, whether supernaturally, whether emotionally, a relationship. I keep seeing children. There's a miracle with children, and it's around you, children and young people. God is stirring up, and he's preparing you for a miracle ministry. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Oh, yes, Lord, I do. I believe you. Actually, just before I called you, a lady called me, and she couldn't take care of her three girls anymore, and she asked me would I take them. And I told her, yes, I will.
Look at you. I'm going to pray some. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm sensing by the Holy Spirit that you have a financial miracle for this woman. And, Lord, I'm asking you to do it for her. It's
yes,
a residual
Lord.
Income that's going to take place.
Yes, Lord. Thank
and
you.
And the Lord's going to give you divine favor not many days hence. I see some papers on your table somewhere in your place you're filling out. And some of those papers are not completely filled out. You're waiting on the Lord. But the Lord's going to get into that. I don't know whether you have it now, but you're going to be in the future. You're going to be filling out forms. The Lord's going to give you divine favor. Do you hear the prophet?
Yes, Lord.
Hmm.
Yes, Lord. I put in for a grant because my heart desires to open up a shelter, a faith-based shelter, and I'm waiting on God.
So you put in for a grant.
Yes, sir.
Let me remind you, Eli was speaking to Hannah. She moved her lips, but nothing came out. And the priest looked at her as if she was drunk. But he said to her, granted. I'm going to say to you, granted.
Thank you, Chief.
The Lord be magnified and praised. Thank you for calling. Anything else in your heart?
That's all.
God bless you.
God bless you too, man of God.
You're welcome. God is so good, and he gets the glory. I'll be right back. I have more phone calls. Stay with me. Give them a praise. It's time for a miracle. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel like fire is on my mouth. And when I get that sensation, you better call 347 539 5173. I remember not too long ago we got a call from South America. We get calls from Africa, and I pray across the nations. I pray for our president. I pray that God do something with this president that have not ever been done in the history of this country. Now, you watch what God will do with the poor. You watch what God will do with those who are full of pride and think that they are gods. God is about to show up for his people. He's about to bless Israel like he's never blessed Israel. He's blessing the Israel that people don't want to receive. Oh, did I say it? God is going to bless you, mother. Keep holding on. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about in the far future. There's a miracle being released. You're going to have people running to the altars saying, what must I do to be saved? And God's, he's the Lord of the harvest. He's sending people to ministries that's going to feed people with Jesus. Praise God. If you learned anything else in the body of Christ other than Christ, you're in the wrong position. Learn Christ. Forget learning everybody else. I'm talking about this education. I'm talking about spiritual education. Learn Christ. Get with somebody that's about Christ. In the name of Jesus. I feel something unique. Woo! 985-5. Again, the 985. Praise God. God bless you. Thanks for calling Prophecy Alive.
Hi.
Hi, precious. Praise God for you. You know, God has a special position in the kingdom of God for you.
Yes,
there's an anointing in your belly. It comes through your voice. You're going to begin to be a witness like you have never witnessed before. God is sending much people to protect you. And I want you to know that God called you. You're like little David, although he's a boy and you're a girl. But David, you know about how he slew that giant, don't you?
Yes, sir.
There's some giants that you've been seeing for years. But I want you to know, with the voice of God, you ain't even got a shout. God said, when you say in the name of Jesus, God begins to move. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I can feel vibrations of the glory of God. When you say in the name of Jesus, everything you speak shall come to pass. You pray for the nation, as you pray for the world, as you pray for young people, as you pray for people that want to commit suicide, that's what all you got to do is say in the name of Jesus. And God's going to move for you. Do you believe that, daughter?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Don't worry about family. Don't worry about the things that's in that you have seen. Just hold on to God. You know, I started ministering at 14. I was only 14 years of age. And I began to preach the gospel at 14. And I am seeing, and I have seen great miracles. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen people that lost their breath and they came back to life. I've seen people that the doctors had given up. I'm nothing special, but he that is everything is on the inside of me. I'm speaking this because of you. Although you're tender and young, there's an anointing in you that you're going to see this year that others have prayed for in the name of Jesus. I encourage you to be encouraged. Stay in your word, okay? Stay around those who really love you. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Anything else?
Well, I just ask that you pray for me to grow stronger in the Lord because I really need to get my life on track with God.
And tonight is your night. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this young lady. And Father,
I know you hear us when we pray. I know you do. Touch this young lady from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet.
Yes,
restore her fellowship with God.
Please,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Have you, I sense you've already came to the Lord. You just want your fellowship restored, right?
Yes, sir.
You just, let me tell you something. All God wants from you is a yes. So when you pray, just say yes, Lord. You know God hates, he hates sin, right?
Yes, sir.
But we don't condemn, but he hates sin. He don't hate us. And he wants you just to tell him yes. Sometime when you pray, just get on your face before God. Keep that strong, the strong people around you, and just get on your face and say, Lord, I love you. Let me know you. I believe you died and you rose again. I would ask you to take me back like the prodigal son.
Yes, sir.
Come on, say, take me back, God.
Take me back, God.
Restore my fellowship with you.
Restore my fellowship with you.
I want to bask in your presence.
I want to bask in your presence.
Every day.
Every day.
Do you know when Jesus died on the tree? He restored your fellowship. He made peace between you and God. So God's not even mad at you. He loves you like he just loves you. You understand?
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 12. I want you to read that whole chapter. And God's going to show you something. The Holy Spirit is upon you. Say, I receive the Holy Spirit. Say, I receive it.
I receive the Holy Spirit.
Right now.
Right now.
In me.
In me.
And on me.
And on me.
You know, like you buy pickles in a jar, when you put the top on it, you seal it, don't you?
Yes, sir.
So it's in you and on you. We're going to be talking to you more, me and my Queen Katrina, as we minister to you, and God has sent you others to minister to you. We're going to just be a fence around you, and we're going to protect you in Jesus' name, okay?
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be right back. All of that blesses my spirit. I'll be right back.
Make some noise, everybody. Come on, let's rock. Everybody, come on, put your hands out there. Make some noise. Hype it up.
Oh,
God at his best, even what you read in the Bible, God's going to do something that's going to blow your mind, minds too. I'm looking for something that cannot be explained. I'm looking for more than church. Keep going now. But church should become kingdom. If you're in the ministry, they're not trying to get you to become kingdom. They want you to just be in church. Well, I've been in this church for years. Well, praise God. So was Israel walking around in the wilderness, which was the church. My God, he didn't save us to spend a lifetime with the mindset of church. Jesus didn't come saying the church is at hand. The church is out of hand. Oh, there I go again, people. Keep praying for me. Glory to God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Praise God. Faith in God. Romans 4:18. I was reading this earlier. Romans 4:18-21. Abraham, when hope was dead within him, he went on hoping in faith, believing that he would become the father of many nations. I believe that too. He relied on the word of God, which definitely referred to when it says God promised him, he said, "Thy seed." With undaunted faith, he looked at the facts, his own impotence. He was practically 100 years of age at the time. His wife Sarah's apparent barrenness, she couldn't have children. Yet he refused to allow any distrust of a definite pronouncement of God to make him waver. Abraham, he drew strength from his faith. Are you drawing strength from your faith? You know, there are times when it doesn't look like what God promised me. But I draw strength from my faith in God. That's why I tell you, don't have faith, man. Go back to the church, stop getting faith in my pastor. You better have faith in God. Abraham, giving the glory to God, he remained, watch this, y'all, absolutely convinced that God was able to implement his own promise. You know, I like Philippians 1:6. In hope of what God promised, he will perform it. It says to be confident of this very thing. He which begun a good work in you will perform it. I'm telling you, I began ministry at 14. I am 51 years young. I draw strength from my faith, from what God told me, and I know it shall come to pass. It has already came to pass. My desire has always been to win nations to God, including my own family. And I'm seeing that. You know, I'm the type, I love spending time with my family. You know, some people, they preach across the world, but I will take a break, vacation in a hot second with my queen, Katrina, and our children and grandchildren. Abraham believed God. He was convinced that since God promised this, then I'm just going to keep my confidence. I feel that. My confidence is not in Roderick. It's in the Lord. Don't put your confidence in you. Listen, you didn't promise you what you believe in God for. I didn't promise me what I'm believing God for. So why am I going to get stressed out about what I didn't even promise myself? The Word of God says while we were sinners, Christ died. We didn't have enough sense to promise ourselves anything. So since he promised me, I have no other choice but to believe that he's going to keep his word. Glory to God. And what God promised Abraham has come to pass. This was his faith. Read Romans 4. This was his faith. And God counted his faith, the faith that Abraham had. God says, you're righteous because of your faith. This counting of his faith for righteousness, it wasn't to Abraham's credit, but it was to God's credit. This divine principle of having faith in God. You see, faith is to be reckoned as righteousness to us. And Abraham believed in him who raised Jesus, our Lord. You see, we look at the death of Jesus as something that just happened 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago or so. But it happened way before then, before the foundation of the world. Well, I praise God for this. Well, I tell you, I went over my time, but that's what happens when you love God. Continue to rejoice. And join me on Facebook. And we use Facebook for God's book. Join me there. Roderick Owensby. You'll see a picture of me and my queen, Katrina. Join us there on Facebook and continue to pray for us. God is speaking to any of you concerning our ministry. You obey the Lord. I'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Gathering Ministry broadcast of Prophecy Alive with Roderick and his queen, Katrina Owensby. We hope that you have enjoyed it. If you would like to sow into the ministry, please visit us at www.facebook.com/Prophecy Alive broadcast. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. 1 Chronicles 29:9.
You can go there and you can go to www.facebook.com/TGM Project. That's TGM, the Gathering Ministry Project. And we will lead you there. You do what God is telling you to do. And I thank God for what he's doing in your life. You be blessed. You be strengthened. And until next time, God bless you. And I love you. The best is here. Hallelujah.